You may have noticed that here on Issues and Ideas, we try to present examinations of as many different stories and topics as possible. And as a rule, we don't stay on one topic too often. But as that saying goes, for every rule, there is an exception. When it comes to the Catholic Church sex scandal, that is a matter which mandates constant attention. Due to the reluctancy of the Vatican, and to this day, denials by some Catholic Church hierarchy in America, voices and changes are needed to support the victims first and foremost. Our first guest today is one of those voices who is demanding change from a seat where that change can indeed be created. He is the New Jersey State Senator for the 19th District, Senator Joseph Vitale. Thanks for being here today, Senator.
Thanks for asking. My pleasure.
We had some positive news recently. The Attorney General of New Jersey has said that he is going to form a task force to investigate allegations of abuse by clergy members in our five Catholic dioceses and examine the 2002 agreement that requires them to report abuse to county prosecutors. What's the magnitude of this decision?
Well, it's crucial to getting to the truth, and that's what all survivors have been asking for of me and everyone else all these years. And I'm pleased, very pleased, that our new Attorney General, has taken up this challenge. I've met with other attorneys general in the past here in New Jersey, and there was no interest in doing something like this. And so when I called on him to form a task force, to form a panel of grand jury, he did. And to be sort of candid and frank, I think he was already thinking about doing it anyway. But it helped that he had support from elected officials to do just that. And so he's formed this task force. They will conduct their investigations. They will subpoena all the records of every diocese in New Jersey, going back as far as they are available up until today. And they will do their examination much like they did in Pennsylvania. They will ultimately impanel a grand jury with their findings, and the grand jury will then take it upon themselves with law enforcement, the prosecutors, to look through all the information and present their findings.
This has been certainly an issue that you've been supportive of in having clarity, transparency, and as I said in the introduction, the church has been less than eager for this to happen. Why do you think, I mean, for the layperson, the common person on the street, you see something wrong, if you can do something right to fix it, do it, and if it involves confession of past wrongs, then, redemption certainly is something of a factor in the realm that we're talking about. Why do you think the church has been less than eager to cooperate with this matter?
Well, let's say the church is held to the highest standard, you would think, with all parishioners and the Word of God and priests and others who are parishioners who are serious about their faith, I think they're stunned that those leaders who are held to a high standard and who really speak for God in so many ways in their view would do something like this. And so those individuals who have been the abusers, the rapists, those who participated in the cover-up are obviously afraid to come forward, and they certainly to admit what they've done or to admit what others have done. But to answer your question directly, not to report something that you see. My daughter is in preschool, and if any one of us, any parent, found that there was an issue, they would report immediately to law enforcement. How is it that church leadership wouldn't do that? And when you look at the Pennsylvania report, where they talk about 300 priests and 1,000 victims that they know of, because that was just what they had as a matter of their internal church records. How is it that it's just limited to that number? And how is it just limited to that state? It's not. We know that. We know that it's not just national, it's international. And abuse takes place in other places and other ways as well, whether it's a church, whether it's in a school, whether it's in there was a Boy Scout scandal. It happens in recreation programs, everywhere it happens. It happens in the home. But the church is, again, held to a high standard. And when those individuals who are in charge or oversee other church leaders and then find that abuse took place and do nothing about it, that itself is a crime as well. That the cover-up and the enabling of that crime against children is something that can't be tolerated and should be prosecuted, whether it's in civil or in criminal court. And, I've met with and I've spoken to so many devout Catholics over the past several weeks who stopped me on the street, and this isn't hyperbole, and it's not anecdotal. I was at a red light just the other day, and an old Marine Corps Lee guy was there with his bucket collecting a few shekels for their organization. And he said, "Hey, Senator, I just want you to know I'm a devout Catholic. I go to church 2-3 times a week. Please clean this up. This is awful." And that's the same sentiment from so many other serious Catholics and Christians who want to see the right thing done, to clean up the church, to not just provide for accountability, but also to provide for restitution to those victims. And that's the one thing that the church has never said, but will do, is make restitution. And the only time that they do make restitution is when there's a claim brought against the church or the individual who works for the church. It has to be the victim who brings it forward, and not the church who knew about it, who would contact the victim to say, "Hey, let's make this right."
And you mentioned the being held to higher standard. That could have a little tarnish on the silver, too, because a CNN poll has, in America, U.S. Catholics, Pope's approval rating down 20 points from a year and a half ago, and only half of Americans overall say they have a favorable view of the Pope, and one would, I guess, could infer from those results that could trickle down to a same level of approval, disapproval for the church overall, given their actions. We're talking with State Senator Joseph Vitale, Democrat from the 19th District. SenatorJoeVitale.org is his website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Well, that element of the victims coming forward, there's a statute of limitations that you want to see erased in these cases.
I do, and I've been fighting for that for nearly 20 years since I've been in the state Senate. And in New Jersey, there's a 2-year statute of limitations. It's called the discovery rule. So for the layperson, it means that once a victim turns 18, the age of majority, they basically have until the age of 20 or 2 years from when they discover that the injury is connected to the abuse. So as an example, someone's 30 years old and they're in therapy. Their life is a train wreck. And they discover that their psychological and emotional damage is due to the abuse. Now, it's not to say that they didn't know that they were abused, and that's not when the statute of limitations kicks in. It's when you connect the injury to that abuse. And sometimes the abuse is so removed from your consciousness that you don't remember it or don't want to remember it until it is that you go through therapy. But once you make that connection between the abuse, the rape, and your damage, and the injury that you suffer, both psychologically and emotionally, you have only 2 years to then bring a claim. And everyone knows that if you are a victim of sex abuse or rape, whether you're a woman or a child or a young boy, that traumatic event in your life, it's not easy to reconcile. And you now have 2 years to tell your family, your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband, your children, that this happened to you, then make a decision whether or not you want to bring a claim against your abuser. It's not an easy thing because you've got to now tell everyone. You still feel guilt and shame, and now you've got to relive that trauma all over again and go to court. That's a very difficult thing for someone to consider. And so the clock ticks, and after 2 years, you're out of luck. And if it takes somebody 5 years or 10 years to muster up the wherewithal to do it, they should be allowed to do that. Because at the end of the day, the proof for that abuse is on the plaintiff, the person who brings it. They've got to bring the evidence and show what happened. And I know in the case of the church, they're very good at record keeping, and which is why the Pennsylvania grand jury was able to uncover over 1,000 cases of abuse in Pennsylvania over decades of abuse or decades of time.
Now, I'm glad you're referring to these acts by the priest who are as rape, because it's disingenuous to call it abuse or mistreatment or even criminal act. It's rape by any definition.
Any definition. That's why we kind of soft pedal. Maybe just, I don't think it's intentional, but the church talks about it as being abuse. But it's rape. When you do things to children, it's rape. And whether it's penetration, not penetration, and there's a variety of different ways that children were abused sexually, it's rape. And that's what we should call it. And, if it happened to my daughter, frankly, I don't think I would need law enforcement or a judge to figure out what to do about that, but that's just me. But it is rape, and it's awful. It's a crime against humanity. It's a crime against children. How can anyone – and I think that my colleagues in the legislature completely agree that this is rape and this is awful. It should never have happened. It should have been reported immediately. Those individuals should have been removed, and background checks and all those other ways in which we can prevent this from happening should have been in place years ago. And bishops and others who knew about this and let it go, they should be held accountable too. But the reason that the bill has been stalled for so long is because of the wording of the bill, whether we have an unlimited statute of limitations or unlimited amount of time for a victim to bring a claim, or we have a prescribed period of time. And so over the past few years, more than a few, I've met with victims groups, and they say, look, Senator, give us 8 years, 7 years, age 55, some number that gives victims enough time, if they choose to bring their claim. And in most cases, it's going to be a civil claim because the criminal statute of limitations wasn't changed in New Jersey until 1995. So any act, any claim that comes forward that happened before 1995 can't be prosecuted because the statute was different then.
Right.
So they only have civil court to bring any kind of relief, any kind of claim, and for some restitution. Look, a lot of these survivors, they're not looking for money. But a civil claim is the only way they can get into court, the only way that they can hold their abusers and the institution that may have enabled the abuse accountable.
And the truth to come out for everyone to hear and understand and hopefully be part of a solution.
Right. If it weren't for Boston and the whole Cardinal Law scandal and then the grand juries in Philadelphia some years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. Right. I mean, it's the spotlight. It's the light of day. It's the transparency and the openness that finally gets people justice. But because this would have been a secret for forever had people not come forward and very courageous victims not pressed the issue.
And there are priests at the street level who are looking to make a difference. I know there's a bishop in Newark that took part in a rally to call on the church to open up. But then on the flip side, you have the bishop in Chicago saying the Pope has more important things to do than deal with this.
Right. Well, the new bishop in Newark is Archbishop Tobin.
Right.
And he's new to New Jersey. I think it's a year or so, maybe a little less than that. And I met with him a couple of months ago as an introductory, and it was a pleasant meeting. And he's appalled by, of course, what's happened. But the victims and the organizations that they formed to support one another. They've been holding, quiet sign-holding demonstrations at the Basilica in Newark, and they've been met with silence. No one has come out from the church to meet with them and to discuss the issues. I was there with them last Sunday in the rain. They had a great turnout, holding up signs, asking for a change in the law, asking for accountability, encouraging the grand jury, the attorney general to do their work. And the church has responded. Their spokesperson says that, they're going to do the right thing. But I don't know what that means at the end of the day because, I hope I could keep them at their word. But they should have been doing the right thing all these years.
Yeah, words without actions are really just empty words and a waste of time. I'm going to mention two things.
It's like faith. It's faith without action, right? Faith without works is empty, right? And the catechism, look, my dad was Catholic. My mother was Presbyterian, so I'm sort of I'm a practicing Presbyterian. But I still have Catholic DNA in my blood, and my dad was a devout Catholic growing up in Newark in the Depression. They all went to church every day. All six kids were sent to church at St. Lucie's, and they were serious about their faith. This is an attack on the faith. It's not an attack on the Lord. It's really meant to hold men and women who are supposed to be teaching the word of God accountable for what they did and clean out and basically clean house and get the church back to where people will once again trust it and trust their children with them.
I'll mention two things before we close the segment out. The Attorney General also has set up a clergy abuse hotline. It's 855-363-6548, 855-363-6548. And over at our website, if you haven't already, a lot have. We have the Pennsylvania Grand Jury Report that you can download and read. It's over 1,000 pages, but the bulk of the pages need it just to list the priests and the rapes and crimes that they perpetrated over those many years, over the over 1,000 children. But again, that's for your information over at our website. And to voice your support for what Senator Vitale is doing, you can certainly visit his website, SenatorJoeVitale.org. He is a state senator for New Jersey's 19th district. Senator Joseph Vitale, thank you for the force you're putting behind this effort to clean up the House and change the way things are with the Catholic Church, especially here in New Jersey. Thank you for being here today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, sir.